Chapter 2. Remember My Words. Scrooge had his sad dinner in his usual sad tavern. Once he had finished it and read all the papers, he made his way home. Scrooge lived in the same house which had once belonged to Marley. It was a nasty old place where no normal person would like to live. Now, you must believe that there was nothing very special about the knocker that hung on the door, except that it was very large. You must also believe that Scrooge had seen it night and day, when he came back from work and when he went to work. As soon as Scrooge put his key in the door, the knocker seemed to change before his very eyes. Not a knocker, but Marley's face. Marley's face! It was not an angry face, but looked at Scrooge as Marley used to, with ghostly glasses on his ghostly forehead. The hair was strangely wavy, the eyes wide open, and the colour bluish. It was horrible. But as Scrooge fearfully stared at it, the face changed back into the knocker again. Scrooge quickly turned the key, walked in, and shut the door with a bang. As he lit his candle, Scrooge turned to see if the screws that held the knocker were in the right place. They were. He walked hurriedly across the hall, up the stairs to his room, and double-locked his own door. Sitting room, bedroom, all as it should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa. A small fire in the fireplace. Spoon and basin ready. And the little saucepan of porridge on the cooker. Nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet, nobody in his dressing gown, which was hanging on the wall. Quite satisfied, Scrooge took off his tie, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap, and sat down in front of the fire to eat his porridge. He couldn't stop thinking of old Marley. "Humbug," said Scrooge as he finished. After carefully looking around the room with his short eyes, he noticed an old disused bell that hung in the room. With rising fear, he saw that the bell began to swing. Left, right, left, right. It swung so softly that it hardly made a sound, but soon it rang out loudly, and so did every bell in the house. And although this may have lasted half a minute or a minute, it seemed like an hour. The bells stopped as soon as they began, together. And from deep down in the house came a metallic noise, as if some person were pulling a heavy chain. Somewhere in the house a door flew open with a bang. The noise grew louder and louder and louder still on the floors below. It slowly came up the stairs and was coming straight towards his door. "It's humbug still," said Scrooge. "I won't believe it." The colour in his face changed, though, when the ghostly form of a man came through the heavy door and passed into the room before his very eyes, now facing him. "I know him," cried Scrooge. "Marley's ghost!" The same face, the very same, but with a handkerchief wrapped around his head and chin. Was it keeping his jaw from falling down? Marley in his pigtail, usual waistcoat, tights and boots. The chain he was pulling was tied around his waist. It was long and made of cash boxes, keys and steel padlocks. His body was transparent. Scrooge could still not believe his eyes, even with Marley's death-cold eyes fixed on him. "What do you want with me?" said Scrooge.
"Much!"
Marley's voice, no doubt about it.
"Who are you?"
"Ask me who I was."
"Who were you, then?"
said Scrooge, raising his voice.
"There's something familiar about you."
"In life I was your partner, Jacob Marley," said the ghost. You don't believe in me?
I don't, said Scrooge.
At this, the spirit made a frightful cry, and shook its chain with such a noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from falling. But how much greater was his horror when the spirit, taking off the bandage round its head, dropped its jaw upon its chest. Scrooge fell upon his knees and held his hands before his face.
Mercy!
He cried.
Oh, why are you haunting me?
I have come for you, said the ghost. I have come to warn you.
Warn me? About what?
Said Scrooge.
Here, look,
said the ghost, pointing to the chain around him.
I made this chain. I made it when I was alive, and I made it from my greed and my selfishness. Do you not recognize its cash boxes?
Jacob, begged Scrooge. Old Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak to me of a bright future, Jacob.
There is none, the ghost replied. I can only tell you that you too will carry your own chain if you do not change. I am trapped myself. Trapped forever, no rest, no peace, and nobody to share my troubles with. All happiness gone, forever and ever.
But you were always a good businessman, Jacob, said Scrooge.
Business, cried the ghost. Charity, mercy, and love should have been my business, Ebenezer. Hear me, said the ghost. My time is nearly gone, but yours is just beginning. You will be haunted by three spirits.
I cannot, said Scrooge.
Without their visits, said the ghost, you cannot change your future, and you cannot become a better man. The first will come tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The second on the next night at the same time. The third on the next night as soon as you hear the last stroke of 12. Be prepared, Ebenezer, and remember my words.
The spirit then folded his handkerchief about his head and walked backwards, and with every step it took, the window raised itself a little, so that when the ghost reached it, the window was wide open. And then it was gone. Scrooge closed the window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was double locked, as he had locked it with his own hands. He tried to say humbug, but stopped himself halfway. And as he was completely exhausted, it had not, after all, been a regular day. Scrooge went straight to bed, without taking his clothes off, and very quickly went to sleep.